you know, again, been impressive watching Cincinnati this week. You know, Marvin's really done a good job with that team. They got a good football team, good organization, and you know, a big challenge for us Sunday night. So, looking forward to the opportunity, and be good to get back on the field.
Bill, you mentioned the other day that you characterize the Bengals as tough and physical. When you see them, do you see some of the same qualities that you saw recently in the Ravens and to some degree the Steelers?
I don't know. I think the Bengals have their own style of doing things. I mean, Marvin's been there for, I don't know, over a decade. So I don't think their style needs to be compared to anybody else's. I think they've developed what they've developed. And, you know, starting with, you know, Mike and Mike Brown and Marvin, and they've had different coordinators there. They've had different, you know, they had different players there through the course of those years, but they've developed a style that's their style, and I think it's tough and physical. I'm not saying other teams don't have it, but I think the Bengals are the Bengals. I don't think they're anybody else.
Was Dobson was deactivated last week. Was that a football decision, or was that disciplinary?
Football.
Bill, when you look at Geno Atkins, is he still that dominant presence that you're used to seeing out of him, even though he's coming off of an injury from last year and kind of working his way back this season?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player, and they have a very good front. It's hard to just zero in on one guy. They're all disruptive. So sometimes you know, help on one guy and that, you know, compromises something else or vice versa. They have good balance across the front, and they have a lot of pressure schemes, which you can't help on anybody then. Everybody's got a man. It's one-on-one. So they do a good job. I mean, he's a very disruptive guy. He, you know, hurt us last year. He's got great quickness, a good motor, very instinctive. He's a good football player.
Hey, Bill, back to Dobson for a second. Has he progressed to the point that you're ready to put him back in the lineup?
We'll do what we think's best for the game, just like we always do.
With such a thin receiver core, though, how important is that for him to get back to the point where you're comfortable putting him in the game?
Well, we're going to make the best decisions that we can make every week, try to activate the players that we think give us the best chance to win. Same thing we do on every game. This game's no different than that. It's all, you know, that's what we do.
Was it hard to operate at all last week with only four receivers up? Did that make it difficult at all or put the offense at any sort of disadvantage?
Well, I think we have a lot of skilled players in the passing game. Tight ends, backs, receivers, so when you look at the whole group of it, I think there's a lot of guys that can be productive in passing.
Bill, was there an incident between Aaron Dobson and Josh McDaniels?
You know, no, and I'll have a comment on that later.
When it comes to the passing game, Bill, had a chance to talk to a couple of running backs yesterday about staying in as pass protectors. For those guys, is there a way to try to manipulate which defensive players they can end up blocking, or in theory, do they have to be ready to block anybody that comes through?
Just talking about some of the matchups, you know, obviously if a guy like James White is going up against a bigger guy, that's a tougher matchup. Is there a way to help determine a better matchup for him as a blocker or a guy like him?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a complicated question. I mean, I'm not trying to avoid it. It's a complicated question. There's a lot of different protections that teams run, we run, other teams run, and there's a lot of different combinations that you have to block. So some matchups are going to be better than others. I think the most important thing in pass protection is to make sure that you have the blitzers picked up. The matchup's important, but the pickup's important too, so you can't turn guys loose. So getting that right is that would be priority number one, and then the matchups would be priority number two. But it's pretty hard to create a matchup scenario when offensively you're just trying to block the potential rushers. So the pass protection is a very, it's a, I mean, this is, you know, we spend weeks and months and hours in the off season and game planning every week talking about pass protection and how to get the people blocked. And also the matchups, I mean, they're important, but when they blitz, you can't, you know, you don't have a lot of options on the matchups. You know, you've just got to make sure that you get them. Now, when they blitz, they have less space to rush, too. You know, like they have basically a lane that they need to run into because there's guys beside them rushing through their lane. So I'd say that the blocking part of it on blitz is a little bit easier in terms of the amount of space you have to defend. You just have to block more people and more combinations. But it's, I mean, it's a good question, and it's certainly one that we spend – and I would share that most other teams spend as much time on offensively as anything in the entire game planning discussion is protection. So that would be a long, involved answer to that on multiple protections. It's not just one protection. It's, you know, you might have anywhere from 5 to 20 different protections in the game depending on what you're running, how much you're doing. So.
I don't know if it's related or not, but pre-snap reads versus quarterback dropping back, Tom dropping back and reading progressions. Do you ever go into a game like this thinking, or any game, thinking, well, we're going to have to work more on pre-snap reads against this team because they bring more pressure, or it's going to be more of a progression read? Is there a difference there?
I think every week you try to do the best on pre-snap reads that you can. Some teams disguise things better than others. Some teams have a certain look that they have do three or four things out of. Like, that's their thing, is just they're going to give you a certain look, and then they have, you know, multiple combinations off that look. Sometimes formations indicate pre-snap reads. Sometimes, you know, defensive alignments indicate pre-snap reads. So, I mean, it could be a combination of one or multiple things like that. And it's always important. That's something that we absolutely talk about every week in game planning is pre-snap identification. Now, you always have to confirm what they're doing post-snap. I mean, you can't, I mean, against a good defense, you just can't say, okay, well, here's what it looks like, and then that's what it is 100% of the time. You still have to confirm it, but it can certainly indicate what a lot of times it won't be. Like, if it could be one of four things, maybe now down to one of two, based on a certain key that you have. So, but I'd say it's an important thing every week. It's important this week, but I can't imagine sitting here before any game and saying that it's not important. I would say it's important every week. I mean, it's similar to pass protection. It's those are two of the most important things that you do offensively in preparation.
Bill, do you expect Brian Timms and Brandon Browner to play on Sunday night?
Well, we'll make that decision, you know, in the next 48 plus hours.
Do they look like they're ready to go? Those two?
They've worked hard.
They look like they're ready to play a football game if you needed them.
I think they've worked hard, yeah. I mean, it's just a question of whether, you know, them versus other guys. I think we have other guys to consider on that, too.
What might those guys bring to the table that that has been missing in their absence? Their styles of play.
I mean, they're both good football players, so they bring their strengths. You know, the other players have their strengths. We'll have to try to make the decision as to what we feel is best for this game and for this, our situation.
Is there an element to those guys getting into football shape? Obviously, they've been working out, but haven't been able to practice or play. So is that part of this week? Just, is there a different kind of shape that they need to be?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can go out there and, you know, run laps around the field forever and do sit-ups, but, you know, until you put the other 21 guys out there on the field, it's different. I mean, you just can't simulate football without 22 guys on the field. You just can't do it. So being in condition is important, and I'm certainly not minimizing that, but playing football is playing football. It's not You know, it's not doing wind sprints. That's part of conditioning, but that's not part of playing football. Playing football is 21 other guys. So you can't simulate that unless you're actually out there doing it. And that's guys that miss time, whether it's a player coming back off an injury or the Tims Browner situation or whatever it is. It's there's an element to football reactions, timing, execution that's separate from conditioning.
How much of what they did, Bill, in training camp and preseason was with that in mind, trying to, if not make up ground, just make sure they're as prepared as they could have been?
Yeah, and I think they did that. I mean, they both knew what their situation was. They knew what they were going to be dealing with, and I think that they both did that all the way up to the last preseason game with the Giants. So I think they got as far as they could go, and then we had to put on the brakes for 4 weeks, and now it's time to start up again. So we'll just have to kind of see where that comes to.
Do you have an exemption for them for another week, up to 55? Is that right?
It's through this game, and then it ends next week.
Mm-hmm. Does it end on Monday?
I think it does.
Bill, you often tell players, and they tell us, that you ignore the noise when publicity is negative. But do players really ignore the newspapers and talk show radio, or do they sometimes get an ear on that for motivation to, if they turn things around, to put it back on us?
You have to ask them that question.
Have you been pleased so far this season with Ryan Allen's ability to flip the field?
I think he's had some really good plays. I think there's some that, you know, he would like to have back or he can improve on. I think we all feel that way. I don't think any of us on this team are feeling like it's gone perfect. I mean, there are things that we've done well, and there are things that we'd all like to do better or have back. I'm sure Ryan feels the same way.
Is Bernard similar to Charles in the sense that they're both kind of explosive and used in the passing game a little bit also?
I'd say Bernard's used in the passing game probably as much as any back in the league. I mean, he's used in the running game a lot too, but he's definitely a go-to guy in the passing game. A lot of different routes. He's good at everything. He's a good space player. He's a very good receiver. He's a good runner. He breaks a lot of tackles or makes guys miss in the open field, however you want to call it. But he's very good with the ball in his hands, and he's very good at creating space to get the ball in the passing game. So it's pretty dangerous wherever he is. But he's really used everywhere. I mean, they split him out. They get him out of the backfield. They throw it to him. They hand it to him. They make you cover him to, you know, create opportunities for other guys. So he's a real good player.
Bill, Hugh had a reputation in Oakland for somebody who could, you know, really kind of get the running game going and their offense to play with an edge. Can you see that through four games and what Cincinnati's doing? I noticed Dalton's attempts are down a little bit. Seems like at least they're running the ball a little bit more. Is this something that shows up on tape, the way that there's an emphasis on wanting to try to establish a run?
I think that's always been Marvin's philosophy. I don't think it's any different. I mean, every time I've seen Marvin quoted, that's what he always says. Starts with the running game. Everything else comes off the running game. That's what the quarterbacks say. That's what the coordinators say. That's the way they want to play the game. I mean, of course, when you're ahead in the game like they were against Atlanta and Tennessee, you're going to have a lot of running attempts. I mean, that's obvious. So I think part of the question is, how do you get ahead?
Yeah.
You know, what causes you? I mean, once you get to that point, then, you know, it's easy to keep handing the ball off. I mean, every team in the league would do that, most every team. But, you know, they've done a good job of creating those leads and putting themselves in that position, and that's, you know, that's the key to it. But the running game is a big part of that too. So, but I think attempts is a little bit of a misleading stat because a lot of that's related to score.
How
How do Hill and Bernard play off each other? How do they split them up?
Oh, they're both in there. They're both in there. I think they both can play on all three downs. So I don't think it really, really matters. I mean, whether, you know, it's not like one guy's in on first and second down, the other guy's got to come in on third down. I think they want Hill in there on third down. No problem. If they want Bernard in there on first and second down, no problem. I think those guys are pretty, they're different, but they can both play on all three downs. They've got good skills in the passing game. They can pick up and they can run the ball inside and in space. So, good players.
Bill, I know you've talked this week about Mike Brown, the respect you have for him. Have you ever talked to Mike about his dad?
Sure, plenty of times.
Yep. See, what do you guys talk about when you talk about Paul? Does he remember the most? You can share any?
Obviously, he remembers a lot. It's his father, but no, I've talked to Mike about him plenty and have a lot of respect for that family. You know, my dad and that family go way back. I mean, back to World War II, post-World War II days. You know, my godfather's relationship with Paul and the Browns and the Bengals, and the Bengals being at Hiram. I mean, the Browns being at Hiram, and my mom graduating from Hiram, and my dad coaching at Hiram, and I mean, it goes back a long way. So, but I would say, you know, most of the relationship with Coach Brown was with my dad. I mean, I've met him and, you know, gone to practices and, you know, those kind of things. But, I mean, I was young. So, so I'd say I have a much closer relationship with Mike just because we're, you know, a little closer in age. Football fathers, Ohio, you know, so there's a lot of similarities there. All right. Okay. All right. Thanks.